Please rise for our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was lacking clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' The king will answer them, 'Amen, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Lacking clothes, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not take care of me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or lacking clothes or sick or in prison and did not serve you?' At that time he will answer them, 'Amen, I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me.' And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
We have come to the last Sundays of the church year. At the end of the church year, the lectionary directs our attention to the end of the world. Our readings today are especially concerned with that line in the Creed that says, "He shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end." Almost 2,000 years have passed since Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. A person might wonder, where is this promised coming of his? There's plenty of material available for a person to scoff at the notion that Jesus will come again. It's not very hard to scoff. We human beings have been prone to scoff ever since almost the very beginning. "You won't surely die. He won't see us in these bushes. Where's the water, Noah? How are we going to escape, Moses? If you really are the Christ, then why don't you come down from that cross? Then we'll believe you." With Christ's second coming, we are dealing with an article of faith. Hebrews says of faith that it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. There's hardly any arguing that can be done for articles of faith. Either something happens or it doesn't. Arguing only plays into our natural tendency to scoff. Arguing, for example, is what convinced the Jewish leaders at Jesus' time that there is no way that he could be the promised Christ. John's gospel tells us what the leaders were saying about Jesus. They said, "He has the audacity to heal people on the Sabbath. He's a Sabbath breaker. He even continued to heal people when we specifically told him not to. How can the Christ be a Sabbath breaker?" And they said, "He's from Nazareth in Galilee. The Christ has to come from Bethlehem. We don't even really know who his father is. Plus, what about all these people that he hangs out with? Bunch of sinners. The whole lot of them. No self-respecting Christ is going to be found associating with people like that. The ringleaders who put Jesus to death had zero doubt that he was an impostor and a blasphemer. Their arguments were ironclad. It was the stupid laymen who were being taken in by him. It was for the sake of the stupid laymen that he had to be put to death, and that right soon, otherwise the whole world would go after him. But arguing and the fear of being scoffed at finally got the best even of almost all of Jesus' disciples. They also came to the point where they denied him and disbelieved in him, especially after he died. They had thought that he was the Christ, but now he's dead. You can't prop a corpse up on a throne and expect good government or victory over the Gentiles. So do not imagine that those who scoff at Christ's second coming are doing anything new. Ever since the fall into sin, mankind has had a devil of a time believing anything that God says or promises. The one who believes is blessed. The one who does not believe only discovers the truth after it is too late. Waiting and seeing is different from watching and praying. Waiting and seeing is what some of the people were doing at Christ's cross. Let's wait and see if he does something that is worthy of us bestowing the honor of our faith upon him. But Jesus did not reveal himself to many skeptics after he rose from the dead. The notable exception to that is the Apostle Thomas. As it is written in Romans, God shows mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Regardless of what anybody thinks, the truth must win out. God will vindicate his people. This is one of the things that Jesus is teaching in our gospel reading today. All people and every individual is either a sheep or a goat. Every individual goes either to Jesus' right or his left. The sole criterion for whether a person is on Jesus' right or his left is whether that individual believed in him and in the promise of his second coming. We are justified before God by faith. The value of faith is rather hidden in this life. It doesn't appear to be all that useful. Money, intelligence, and a good work ethic appear to be more important. But faith is finally vindicated with Christ's second coming. That is when judgment comes. This is not the first time that God has judged. Jesus says that it will be like those other times when God judged. It will come at an hour that no one expects. He says it will be like it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Sodom. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, marrying and being given in marriage. Life will be going on like it always has until it doesn't. There's no way to sugarcoat this teaching without being wildly unfaithful to the scriptures and to Jesus' own teaching. There is a lake of fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. The goats will go there too. There is an outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. These are all things that Jesus says. You can believe in them or you can choose not to, but you shouldn't call yourself a Christian if you are embarrassed by Jesus and his words. Faith is all important. Faith in Jesus and his words is all important. However, this faith should not be construed to mean that it's all a matter of having the good sense to believe in Jesus. That's not how faith should be understood. Faith should not be understood in a merely utilitarian sense, where having faith is some way to get ahead in life or in the next life. Such a calculating and self-serving understanding of faith is not faith that is worked by God and given as a gift. Faith like that is a product of man's own shrewd reasoning, and it's not genuine. That Jesus is talking about true faith is plainly seen by the way that he describes the sheep and the goats in our gospel reading. If you think that faith is merely a matter of hell insurance, a clever trick to escape punishment, then you will be among the goats. Notice how the goats simply cannot endure God's judgment. They are thoroughly irritated at this fellow who has the gall to judge them. When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or lacking clothes or sick or in prison and did not serve you? The implication here is we're good people. Why didn't you speak up? If you would have showed up at our door hat in hand, we would have gladly given you directions to the Salvation Army. Why didn't you show some initiative? Speak up. Or when it comes to the issue of faith, they might say, I had the good sense to believe in Jesus. I thought it was all true as true can be. The Bible says it, and I believe it. You can't send me to hell. It's against the rules that you yourself have set. But this is wrong. Faith in Christ does indeed save. But it must be true faith and not fake faith. True faith is given by the Holy Spirit to those who repent. Fake faith is a product of man's reason, where he thinks that he can beat God at his own game. He makes sure that he plays his cards right, church-wise perhaps, makes sure he stays on the books, but meanwhile his heart is full of hatred, lust, greed, and all manner of uncleanness. Christ, for these people, is a get-out-of-hell-free card that gives them license to pursue the evil that they would have pursued regardless, and now they can just do it with impunity. Nevertheless, all these people that I'm talking about believe with their whole heart that they are going to be saved because they have had the good sense to believe in Jesus. It is precisely these people who will be as mad as hell on Judgment Day. Here they went to all this trouble of being a member of the church and giving offerings and serving on the church board and all those hours of sitting through boring sermons, and it's all for naught. The goats, in general, are proud and angry. The sheep are very different. They are humble and self-effacing. Jesus commends them for the good works that they have done, and they don't know what he's talking about. They weren't keeping a ledger of debits and credits. The idea of making a case for their justification before God was the furthest thing from their minds, and for good reason, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. During their earthly life, they were repentant. What was vivid in their mind was not all the supposedly good things that they had done, but the way that Even their best works were like filthy rags. Meanwhile, unawares, the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives, like leaven in a lump of dough. Unawares, the Holy Spirit was working love in their life. Their left hand didn't know what their right hand was doing. Just as a good tree produces good fruit because that's just what good trees do, so also God is at work in the lives of those whom he has chosen, those whom he has given the gift of faith in Christ. So faith is not some meritorious work that we have done that deserves the reward of heaven. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is worked by the Holy Spirit when and where he chooses in those who hear the gospel. Faith alone justifies, but faith does not remain alone. Faith is followed by good works, worked by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it is not true faith. Poor, miserable sinners without even a spark of goodness in themselves are given access to the very righteousness and goodness of God. It is by communion with God that love is worked, because, as 1 John says, God is love. And notice for whom the good works were done by the sheep. They were done for the least of Jesus' brothers, and therefore were done to him. We can be pretty savvy about for whom we do good works. We are much more prone to scratch the backs of those who are more likely to scratch ours in return. Jesus, however, teaches us that we should love our enemies and not just our friends. He says that if we are going to give a dinner party, that we should not invite rich people who might invite us back to their homes in return. We should invite those who cannot pay us back. Our calculating reason, which is always looking out for our own welfare, finds such advice distasteful. No thanks. I don't want to do anything nice for those who have hurt me. We might be willing to do good works, quote unquote, but those good works better have a pretty good rate of return. Otherwise, you can forget it. Thus, you can see how different the sheep are from the goats. Thus, you can see what a difference there is between true faith and fake faith. The sheep did their work naturally and without calculation. They did what they did because their nature was changed by God. They were made to be like their heavenly Father, who makes his sun to shine on the evil and the good. It is a miracle for anyone to love his enemy, but that is what God works in his disciples. As disciples or students, they learn from and follow the works of their master, Jesus. He did not just die for the good, otherwise there'd be no one for him to die for. He died for the evil. This is the most beautiful and good thing that has ever happened, and it is a wonderful thing when this is also manifested in his followers, even though their works may be noticed by precious few. So when Christ comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, it is indeed going to be on the basis of faith. Realize, however, that we can fool ourselves into manufacturing a convenient faith for ourselves that is fake and self-serving. Faith is for those who have empty hands. They know their sins and believe that God would be right to send them to hell for the evil life that they have lived. But they believe that God has loved them in Christ and made atonement for their sins. That is indeed the truth. He is the Savior. and they love and trust in him. Thus their lives are also changed by God. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. In him, we produce fruit. These works of the faithful are not done for the purpose of making our case for being a good person. This is what the goats do. Instead, we do these works for no other reason than that these works are good. And we recognize that they are good. A miracle in itself. In preparation for that great and terrible day of the Lord that is coming, we should not wait and see, but rather watch and pray. He is coming. In the meantime, he is at work in us, assuring us of our Savior's power and making us into the beautiful image of Christ the crucified. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.